One nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, justice for all.
I off mute?
We get a roll call, please.
That one?
Yep.
Ms. DeGennaro.
Here.
Mr. D'Onofrio.
Here.
Ms. Wadomski.
Here.
Mr. Joseph DiMartino.
Here.
Ms. Kurnica. Mr. Sill.
Here.
Mr. Jim DiMartino.
Excuse.
Thank you. Mr. Heider.
Here.
Mr. Sampson.
Here.
Forum.
Barbara, you want to bring something up, please?
I'd like to just take a moment of silence for Francis Terlizzi, who passed away recently. Everybody knew Fran. She was the owner and operator of Vanetti's for over 50 years, and then later, Junie Moon's. I had the pleasure and the opportunity and a life-changing experience and was fortunate enough to be one of her employees. I worked for her 2 years at my last 2 years at Derby High School and during my 2 years at UConn. And, you know, she was just what our city is all about, an institution of hardworking people. And, you know, that it's certainly the tradition of our folk here. And, you know, she loved everybody and she had a smile and she treated everybody well. And, you know, everybody remembers, and that's a big missing place when she closed. So if we could just have a moment of silence for Frances.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So we have Mike Mako on the line there too. Welcome, Michael. Addition, deletions, corrections, and adoption to the agenda.
I think we're all set, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Number five, public portion. Anybody from the public would like to speak? Anybody from the public? Anybody from the public? We got a seagull.
You have to unmute yourself. So if you would like to speak, you have to unmute yourself.
All right. Hearing none, we're going to move on to number six, department head meetings. Financial director. Keith.
Hold on. Hold on, I have to now unmute everybody, sorry. Keith, can you talk?
Yes, sir. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mayor. My report was submitted for a quick flyover. I'll talk just on a couple of key points just to keep everyone in the loop. The biggest one was we did accomplish redoing the entire fiscal year-to-date budget for payroll. As Mr. Sill might be aware, some of the financials did not properly reflect year-to-date payrolls. And that was because there was an issue between the bridge between the payroll company and the city general ledger that's been going on for 2 years. We redid the payroll, the bridge has been fixed, so we should be good to go going forward. I gave you the fiscal dashboard as well as I updated it today. The reason I updated it today was there was a $3 million check that came in for the educational block grant at the end of last week. So overall, we are in good condition, both on the revenue side and expenditure side year to date. Tax collection is hovering around 98%, slightly below the bogey we used in the budget, but we still have to post the balance of May and June. One of the things that we've definitely realized and benefited from, unfortunately, for lack of a better word, from Corona is by migrating some of the workforce and some of the labor tasks to a remote location, I think we have a really good handle on different jobs, different tasks, different responsibilities, the scope of work, where we can actually obtain some efficiencies. We hope to present that during the budget, and you know, we still do need some personnel, but there might be a shift in the personnel. And this exercise of working remotely and having a reduced workforce in the building actually highlighted some of the efficiencies and some of the inefficiencies. So we actually look forward to presenting that to the tax board and to the alderman as we go forward. On a side note, as we build the budget, it's probably one of the, I'll say, most concerning years that I've ever been involved in, because we don't know what tomorrow holds, not only from a social and a political, perspective, but from an economic perspective and how that's going to impact our city. What businesses will still be around to pay their taxes? What personal property is going to get reduced? You know, we'll get the real estate on certain businesses, but will the personal property not be there? Will there be a delay in paying taxes? You know, our homeowners have constantly paid, even though the burden has shifted from the commercial to the residential over the last 10 years, they pay 98-99% every year of our homeowners pay their taxes on time, no issue. You're starting to hear numbers, you know, 15-20% of homes in America are going delinquent on their mortgages. Now to extrapolate that into next fiscal year is unknown. It's going to be, we're going to have to build a model, and in our past practice, always use conservative approach, but it really is an unknown. We're starting the budget cycle next Tuesday. That's the biggest concerning element as we build this budget for me. And we'll vet it with the board, but it's anyone's guess what tomorrow brings. Now, we recently passed, in accordance with the executive order, that people have from July 1 to October 1 to pay their taxes with no penalty. Mortgage companies are going to pay in July. We should be okay in July, even if some of that tranche of homeowner it falls delinquent on their taxes. They're not really theoretically going to more than 30 to 60 days, so the mortgage company is going to pay the escrow, pay the taxes. We have to keep our eye on this, because come January, if they're delinquent in their mortgages for 6 months and they haven't put into the escrow, we're going to have to deal with another problem. I don't want to worry about that yet, but I'm just putting things that are on the shelves that we have to keep our eyes on as we go into these uncharted waters. So that's the concern as we build the budget. We're almost there. We have one employee in the entire city of Derby who will not do direct deposit. And our goal is to get that individual to do it, and then I will report we're 100% compliant. We're starting the encumbrance system. We're ready, and we're about ready to go on July 1, where we're going to modify how we purchase things so the liabilities hit our books when they're supposed to. It's going to be a change to department heads. Anything with change comes, you know, issues and concerns. So I do ask for your assistance and your support. And if anyone's complaining about, oh, they come up with this new process, to please recall that new process is to make us compliant with GAAP accounting and to modify and eliminate a recommendation that's been in the audit for years. So they may not like change. We're going to make it as painless as possible. But for us as a city, it's the right thing to do so our financials are properly reflective of our liabilities. We did provide you with a list for the Corona reimbursement. That was in my report. That was as of close 2 weeks ago. I'll update you again at the end of this week. Everything's on there except some of the labor, and some of the labor is overtime associated with the Corona. Right now, it's primarily the Derby PD custodial staff due to the extra cleaning that's on there, and then the City Hall custodial staff. So those are the only payroll items that are going to be hitting the lines as of right now. Everything else is the items and the expenses that you have on the report. We're still working with the Board of Ed on the remaining item, which is, in accordance with the executive order, the governor required that all public entities, school districts, and municipalities negotiate with their transportation and special ed companies and come to a settlement. The settlement is not prescriptive in the EO. The only thing that's prescribed is that we meet with these companies and we come to a settlement. The advantage of us not rushing and not doing it sooner than we are today is multifold. The first is some of the early towns were paying 80 cents on the dollar for March, April, May, and June. For almost a quarter of the fiscal year, they were paying 80 cents on the remaining dollar to the companies. We have not done that. So in the interim, the bus company has placed some of its drivers on unemployment. They have applied for PPP. So the team that met was the treasurer, myself, the mayor, Dr. Conway, Mr. Izzo, Mr. Gilday, Laura Harris, Andrew Backlick, and we came up with a strategy. That strategy will start to be implemented in the next week or two and agreed upon before they meet with the company. As time progresses, the amount of those funds that are left to pay also gets reduced. So time is on our side right now not to accelerate negotiations with the company. But more importantly, the intent of the EO to pay these companies was to sustain employment and to sustain paying their employees so they don't penetrate the unemployment market and cost the taxpayers more. Well, they've already went to unemployment. So that's going to reduce the amount that we're obligated or we feel obligated to pay the bus company and the special ed company. Rough numbers, we're talking about $500,000 is on the table for just the bus company's loan. So that's progressing nicely. We hope to have that resolved in May or June. Other than that, the only item I have is added to the agenda, I believe, regarding Johnson's Control and the solar panels. That's my report, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Mayor.
Any questions for
Keith? I'm sorry, go ahead, Ron.
On the third line there, sale of city property, $2,700.
Because when the sale of FARCA came in, it got booked to unanticipated revenue, and we're going to go to the tax board Monday with a journal entry to move it out of there into the sale of property line item.
Oh, okay. What was the 27?
Ronnie, I'll have to check. It was before I got in that spot. So I will check for you and email you tomorrow.
That answers my question. Thanks.
Hey, Tom D'Onofrio. Who are the stakeholders when you put in your thing, identified stakeholders?
For which item, sir?
You have on number 10. We will send this list out periodically to the identified stakeholders.
That would be the vote and the Board of Aldermen.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, Rob Heider, I just, you know, not to beat a dead horse, but do you know where we stand with the reimbursement from the city of Ansonia?
Absolutely. It's tied in with a more of a macro issue that we're resolving with them. So we had it with the bill for the use of the field that day. We also have an issue with the fuel. The fuel, since we were to using the Ansonia tanks to pick up our fuel, the fuel is purchased from East River, which is a consortium provider of fuel. They also do heating oil and whatnot. So what happens is they bill us and they bill Ansonia for the fuel that's put into the tank. The way it's supposed to work is there's, let's say, 5,000 gallons go in this month, and 2,500 is ours, or 3,000 is ours and 2,000 is theirs. One would assume that the bill would be billed that way to the two municipalities. That was not happening for a number of months. For a number of months, we were getting a bill, but unbeknownst to us and Ed and Sal and finance and myself, you assumed the bill you got was the Derby portion of the fuel put in the tank. It turned out they weren't billing Ansonia for a couple of months. We were getting the full tab. So we started to resolve that issue by matrixing how many gallons got put in, taking all the fobs and who took what gallons used for their truck, divvy that up between Ansonia and Derby, then net out what we paid. So we actually paid ahead of what we got because we paid for the full fuel. Ansonia didn't pay for any fuel for that window. Once we resolve that, Rob, rather than have these checks going back and forth, we're going to say, okay, Ansonia, what do you owe us for fuel? What do you owe us for the field? What do we owe you for this? And do a net number in the end. So it's tied in because the fuel is the bigger issue, both in dollars and time. And I want to publicly thank you. I mean, it was a mess, and he laid it all out. And we're in negotiations with Ansonia now to resolve the fuel, and that's in there as well, Rob. So it's definitely in the discussion, and it has not been forgotten.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome,
Keith. Charlie Sampson. Just one, and it's not a question. It's actually more of a awareness thing, and I think Corporation Council should share the same, because I know we're going through the same issues down in Westport with the bus contracts. All contracts moving forward from this date, because I know they passed through your table there. I think that, you know, we have to be more cognizant of a section in the contract that states, in this type of a situation where services are not being rendered, that the city has to be held, you know, we need to stay whole. So I get it. The contract we signed with the bus, nobody foresaw this. It is what it is at this time. I'm glad you guys are working it out. But moving forward, I think that all contracts that the city signs has to have some category in there to address this type of situation.
Good point. The current contract both has the force majeure, and it also has that we pay per diem. So the initial perspective, Charlie, on our take of our contract was we're per diem. If we're not going for the next 60 or 90 days, we should not pay anything on those per diems. Unfortunately, the executive order came out and said, you have to negotiate some settlement on this. So we're kind of like, hold on now. So we have a contract that in this case we win, but we really don't win because of the EO. So you're right. We want to keep the per diem. You know what's going to happen at the table. They're going to want it the other way so that they're made whole or partial whole. So, you know, we have to keep that position. Because right now, Charlie, without that EO, we keep $500,000 on our side of the table.
Understood. Like I said, you guys are doing a good job with it, and I appreciate it. I just want to make sure that in the future that any contracts that this city has for services, there is some sort of addendum in there to address this type of a
issue. Charlie, that issue has come up for me and other communities, and I've started adding a provision that basically says to the extent that the municipality does not get the benefit provided under the contract, then the municipality is excused from payment for the period that it does not receive a benefit. You know, because it's going to come up in a lot of situations. In the situation I was dealing with in North Brantford, it was porta potties. You know, because if your parks are closed, then people can't use the porta potties. And then, but the porta potty company is not cleaning them because no one's using them. So, you know, should the city be paying for that expense just because there's a contract in place that says it should? You know, we should be adding the provision, as you said, and going forward, I think that as we added years ago, the appropriations clause, this will become a standard clause in municipal contracts.
Excellent. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, Keith, Tommy D'Onofrio, either you or Gary Parker can answer this. Under your corona-related expenses, the fire department purchased a front-load e-tractor, or I don't know how to pronounce it, but $7,449. What is that?
Just carry on. I'll let him.
Yeah, I can answer that. Tom, that's a it's called an extractor washer. We use it for our personal protective gear, and it's to cleanse the gear. It has a more aggressive agitator to manipulate the firefighting protective gear we wear to disinfect it. And this was a, FEMA had come out with a notification early on in this incident that specifically referenced personal protective gear as a eligible expense for this grant. And that's why we went after this washing machine.
Okay, thank you.
It's housed at the Storm Engine Company currently. We're pursuing other grants to get them in all the firehouses.
Okay, thanks, Kieran.
Mr. Chairman, can I just go back to the Corona list for a second, if okay with everyone?
Go ahead.
Okay, that's for items we've already acquired. Just for Tommy and everyone else's edification, we did submit to the state an estimate of what money, dollars we think we're going to spend in the next quarter for Corona-related expenses. It's not, you're not held to it. It's a ballpark. It's just so they could start to plan the way they're going to flow Corona money is the feds are going to give it to the state and the state's going to divvy it out. We did put in there an estimate for dump cleaning in a number of buildings. So that you will see that slowly Those items that are projected will slowly migrate onto the accomplished list, but those items are on there for the coming weeks.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions?
Mayor, if I may, just for the record, Mrs. Kurtica, Alderwoman Camille Grandy Kurtica, is here present. She, I think her microphone was muted during roll call, but she isn't. She has been present for the entire meeting.
Yep, we see her. All right, police department. Anything for Jerry? See, he's in the islands.
Any questions?
Chief, can you hear me? Chief, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. A couple things from your report. You indicate that the police department was down 4 staff. Are those 4 police officers?
Those are 3 sworn police officers and 1 part-time records clerk.
Okay. And then you indicate about you're going to do an in-service training. You're going to have the training at the PD. Can I ask why you didn't decide on doing a Zoom type training or something from home for them?
I can. It's rather complicated, but I'll give you the simple overview. So we can't congregate in large groups, so we had to do smaller groups. Initially, we had some labor concerns with remote training, dealing with who was going to pay for internet access, computers, take home, cell phone bills, quiet spaces to take this, etc. And as time progressed, we decided not to go remotely, but the instructor would be remote. So we're having it on site with 4 workstations, kind of like DMV, and we're having the instructors be remote. At the same time, we are doing in-service training in person. So we have a lot of range time. Our ranges are opening up starting in June. So we are accelerating 6 months of training into pretty much 1 month. So we're doing an accelerated in-service training, and all of this is gearing towards post-certification. We have a license that we have to maintain, and these are our CEUs.
All right. I thought it didn't seem to be cost effective, or I thought it would be, seemed to me to be inefficient, but I understand the social distancing, but then above you indicate that the command staff is working 50% on site, 50% off site. So aren't the same concerns there that you just raised that? You said they have cold. Yeah, I don't understand what the difference would be.
So the governor's orders pretty much stated if you can work off-site, do so. And we didn't choose to do so. We chose the minimal we could do. So 50% is the ballpark of what we're starting at off-site. I want everybody back to work June 1. So our schedules are coming back full force. Our patrol force has never stopped that. And while the workforce may want a social distance, we're in a time where the city is looking to go to back to normalcy, as are we and the whole state. So pretty much in the next 2 weeks or so, we hope to be back in force on regular work schedules, with the exception of public interaction. So we're all coming back to work in the next couple of weeks. And trust me, when I tell you 50% offsite, I have been there 60 hours a week until the last maybe week and a half. So it's as needed.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Thank you.
All right. So next. Fire Marshal Phil.
Yes.
Fire Marshal Bill. Phil. Any questions? I know he's doing a lot right now with the restaurants and everything like that. I appreciate stepping up. I mean, it's crazy. It's day by day. So, and We're also, Phil, also we're talking to the other cities and stuff, right?
Yeah, I was on the phone probably about 5 o'clock with the other fire marshals in neighboring towns with the restaurants opening up to try to make sure everybody's on the same page. Tomorrow I'm going to be emailing them the draft that we received. That way everybody could see what was submitted and go from there.
That's-
Man, I also got the reply from the state fire marshal that there could be no sides on the tents. So anybody that puts a tent up, they can't have sides, because if they put the sides up, it's going to then simulate as if you were inside the restaurant. So no sides.
Phil, Tom D'Onofrio, on your report.
Yes.
And I know Charlie and I have been talking to you about this. It's kind of embarrassing that 35 Fifth Street, a building that the city owns, is on your report.
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
It needs a fire alarm system. The system that's in there is an older 120-volt system that parts are not available for it anymore. They can't get any parts to fix it. So the different components that are not functional on it, the only way they can do it is put a new system in. And to put a new system in, you're going to have a design and probably go out to bid. I think if Keith could remember, I think it was probably about 4 years ago. I think they appropriated like about $15,000
right.
for the fire alarm system, but that's more than likely not enough. You're probably going to be something up around $70,000-$80,000. So basically we need somebody that's going to come in and lay out the system to replace that and then go out to bid and see what type of price we could get.
Yeah, what I'm trying to say is, you know, how do we expect to tell the citizens they have to, you know, fix their issues, and we have city building that has issues?
I hear you. The city's got to fund the money. I don't know, that would be through a capital planning expense, or that would be something that would be budgeted through the budget process. And the other side of the coin is, if it does go through the budget process, is it the Board of Education or is it Park and Recs? Because they both share the building.
Yeah, well, I think that we should send this to one of the committees, and one of the committees should bring it to the full board for the next month meeting, and let's rectify this problem, because I take that as insulting.
Absolutely, and I think we should get the committees to start going again, so that'd be great.
Yeah.
I think it should go to Operations and Procedures.
Absolutely. I'd love to see them get back up together.
This is nothing we can get a grant for?
It would be eligible for LOSIP. So we would go through the capital plan, which gets developed in June for July appropriation.
Yeah, take a shot. The list is a lot, Phil. Very good. The list is small.
Yep. And I was on the phone. Hey, Ron, I was on the phone with East 9th Street, the lady, and she's trying to get the contractor there to put some more doors in. She got three left to do.
Oh, that's good. I see it's 5 years. I know I asked you last time, so I wasn't going to ask you tonight.
Yeah. I've been on the phone with her. It's just tough with her trying to get money.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Phil. Fire department? Anything for Gary? How you doing, Gary?
Good, man. How are you?
Excellent.
Gary, Charlie Sampson, I know I've told you I'd assist you with this AT&T thing. I'm doing the best I can. Just give me a day or two. I had some serious issues at work that have precluded me from jumping on top of this, but they should be sending out an item for us shortly to test for the laptops, and I think that you'll be very happy once we hone this thing in.
Roger that, Sean. Thank you very much for your assistance. Really appreciate it. Just so everyone's aware, we're looking to implement a mobile Wi-Fi system for the fire department, so we can get computer access in our apparatus in the chief's vehicles. Get us more information readily at hand as needed. So we look forward to that. And Thank you, Charlie, for his assistance in this new venture for the fire department.
Mr. Mayor, 1 second. Mark, could you unmute Camille from your home base because she can't unmute?
She's unmuted now, looks like.
Okay, she must have just did it. Okay, never mind. You there, Camille?
Just, I didn't realize I had it muted. I'm sorry. I was just going to ask you a question, Chair. Of course, I'm a nurse. I'm in the healthcare, and I'm very concerned about this COVID-19 virus. And I seen two police officers today working down the bottom of Division Street construction. Neither one had a mask on. Why aren't they doing that? This virus is airborne. Can't they wear a mask?
So I'm assuming you're referring to me rather than Gary. I didn't know if it was Jerry or Gary.
Yeah.
Okay. So the governor's recommendations right now are for businesses. And I've been told over and over again that this does not apply to us. At the same time, what our current SOP is that we maintain social distancing. We wear N95 or greater masks when we suspect COVID positive people, or we're going to go hand to hand with somebody, interaction intimately. Outside of that, we wear surgical masks. And if we're in an environment where we want to comply with the governor's orders, for example, going into Subway to get a sandwich, we can wear any of the above, including cloth. Now, if we can maintain social distancing of more than greater than 6 feet, we leave that to the officer's discretion. So if the officers were within 6 feet of each other, that's an issue. If they were outside of that, it's not an issue. So I can address that on a case-by-case basis, but I will tell you that, knock on wood, we have been really good. And I have been fighting tooth and nail. And so far, we are COVID absences none. We have a couple of presumptive ones early on a couple months ago. But right now, we're 100% workforce strength. And we're trying to stay that way to preserve our first responder capability for everybody. So we disinfect, we do everything. And I have to be honest, if there's an issue, I will address it immediately.
All right.
And just to go further, Camille, they all have masks. They were given masks. They keep them with them if they need to put them on.
Okay. All right. I just, you know, I mean, like I said, it's airborne too. So I just don't want anybody getting it. And then actually, if they have it, they can pass it on to people. And that's the problem.
Okay. That's what we're trying. We want to get them to do their temperatures and stuff like that. And we're working on that. So hopefully,
thank you.
The union will work with us to keep everybody safe, because that's what I want to do, keep everybody safe. So, and thank you for that.
Thank you.
Anybody else for the chief? I'm sorry, for Gary. Mark, we're at the fire department. Hang on. All right, hearing none. OEM, this is Mark Neuendorf.
I have a question for Keith, I believe, this Tom D'Onofrio. Keith, it says here in the Derby Emergency Management paper, Derby Middle School generators is still broken. What's going on with that?
Whoa.
Hang on.
All right. OEM, the fifth.
So we're going back to finance director?
No, he knows about the generator at the middle school not working.
All right, but I'm down to OEM. So do you want to go back to that? Or I don't know where you're
there. It's not there.
Under the OEM report, it says that the middle school's
I see.
Generator is broken.
My bad. Go for it.
But I think Gary. I don't know if Mark can answer it. I think Keith can.
Yes. We have to make a transfer because he's taking money from two different line items to cover it, and I'm doing that Monday night.
Oh, so it's going to be all set?
It should be after the tax board Monday. Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Sorry about that. Anything else for Mark? All right. Hearing none. Storm's ambulance.
I don't think we have anything.
I apologize for not having a report. I just have not had the time to put it together. Once this all starts to slow down as it is, I'll compile a big one for you guys to have for next month.
No problem.
All right. William Storms, Board of Ed.
Hi, it's Matt Conway. Hello, everybody.
How you doing, Doc?
Hey, Matt.
Great.
Hey, Matt. It's Barb.
Yeah.
Do you have any plans for anything for graduation, or are you not doing anything at all?
We're still discussing several options and team at the high school, as well as the end of year celebrations that we do for kindergarten, fifth grade, and eighth grade. So all those are being discussed now. Just prior to this meeting, we received from the governor, Department of Public Health, and Department of Education, a new set of guidance that we've been working on now for about 3 weeks to be able to provide to the districts. That was just released about an hour ago. There will be no in-person graduations allowed anywhere for the months of May or June, and additional guidance will come out with respect to that in June, mid to late June, in terms of what might be allowed in future months. So there's several different options that the groups are discussing. We're really providing opportunity and voice to students to let us know what would be most meaningful for them and try to make that work as long as it complies with all executive orders and any other guidance we're receiving from the Department of Public Health.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I know it's different state to state, Matt. My granddaughter just texted me. She's ecstatic. They're going to have a graduation of the high school down there June 2nd on the football field. Only two people are allowed with each child and social distancing. So I hope this works out, even if it's July.
Yes, you and me both. So it's important to them.
Anything else for Doc? All right, Ed, Public Works.
Is Ed where?
He was on.
I'm here. Do you hear me?
Yep, Ed's on.
Ed, it's Rob Heider. I got a question. Actually, I got a couple of questions. I noticed we talked about the basketball rims at Bradley School were removed to prevent the kids from playing, and I know the you guys had put fencing up around the basketball courts at the Picnic Grove. However, kids are scaling those fences and playing basketball regardless of the fencing and the signs. Is that something that you know we should look into removing the rims from those as well? In addition to maybe Irving School, because there's a couple of hoops over there as an addition.
Yes, actually, I spoke with Dennis O'Connell. We will be sending people up to the Picnic Grove tomorrow, and we will try to take the rims down. And also Irving School, Doc Conway had called earlier this afternoon, and we will be there tomorrow, and we will take those down.
Okay, great. Thanks. The only other thing I had was I know that Wittig Park has been used significantly more than it has in the past, you know, especially with the warmer weather and everyone being home with limited options. The garbage up there, there's beer cans, soda cans. There's actually a diaper hanging off a bush up there by the second reservoir. Is that something that maybe you can send a crew maybe on a walk through the park on a Monday and a Friday just to clear that sort of stuff out?
We were up there today. As a matter of fact, I added a couple more barrels to the front of the where the spillway is, and we will be doing a litter pickup there the beginning of next week.
Okay, great. Thanks, Ed.
Any other question?
Ed, I was looking at the parking lot, City Hall. You know, the white lines and everything, they're pretty bad. I don't know if you would bother painting, or I was just thinking it might be a good time to do those lines over.
Painting, street painting will be coming up shortly, and I'll make sure that gets on the list.
Thank you.
While I'm on the call, is it possible for me to ask a question? No, it's not on the agenda.
Absolutely.
We hire summer help, which is already budgeted, and I know there's a hiring freeze. Will that summer help be included in that budget hiring freeze?
I'll say that as long as your shifts are not working full shifts, I can't see hiring other people.
No, I'm sorry. Once we get back to a regular schedule, I wouldn't do it prior to that. But once everybody is back on a regular schedule, is it okay to use that that summer help?
Why don't we bring it to the full board when that happens? That's my opinion. Everybody else can talk about it. But I would bring it to our attention once everybody goes back to work.
I would think they would be on a full schedule within a week or two, so it might be 2 weeks before our next meeting, though, Tom.
Yeah, I think we're looking at June 1st. So
we're looking at June 1st to go back regular shift.
We wouldn't have money for 2 weeks later. So
it is budgeted. I mean, the money is there.
Fine with me.
It's not a new hire. It's just bringing them back for their grass cutting is what they do.
So we have a full board right here right now. So do you guys want to
But it's not on the agenda. It's not on the agenda. So you got to either add it to the agenda or put it on for your next.
But meeting. You know what? Something that's still in the budget. So hire them June 1st, and then it's not new hires. That's the way I look at it. So anything else for Public Works?
I think that's up to the alderman to decide. I'm assuming.
Well, it's in the budget, Tom. So what do you think? Should we take it out of the budget? I don't know. It's still in last year's budget. We still have the money for it, Ed?
Yes, well, we do.
I'll make a motion to revert back to additions and add this to the agenda about the summer help.
I'll second that.
All right.
And I think we could take care of it right after reports, because you can't do it under reports. So we could make it 7.0. And that would be contingent with the when they go back to full time, that they can bring that on and we can vote under 7.0 after reports. Is that good? Anybody second it?
I second it.
Joe did.
All right. All in favor?
No. Negative.
No, I mean just to put it on the agenda.
You put it on the agenda. So, Tom, you don't want to put it on the agenda?
No.
Okay, so all in favor?
We need to take a roll call vote.
Okay, we'll take a roll call vote.
Go ahead. Patty's going to call the roll.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Very hard to hear.
I can't hear.
Yeah, can you?
Mr. Joseph
D. Martino.
Yes.
Ms. Cortez? Camille?
Yes.
Yes. What do you got for the roll call? You got it? Can you speak up a little bit?
Yes. I'm a yes, Patty.
We have five yeses so far.
I have Ms. DiCanero, yes. Ms. Wadomski, yes. Ms. Mr. John C. Martino, yes. Ms. Sordica, yes.
Okay. Ronnie Sill said yes.
Mr. Sill, yes. Mr. Yes. Mr. Heider.
Yes.
All right, so it's approved?
Yep.
All right.
7.0.
So 7.0.
She didn't ask me.
What else from,
Charlie Sampson, yes.
Charlie.
She never got to me. Yes.
She did, but you didn't hear her.
Anything else for Ed?
Yeah.
No, hearing done. Let's see, WPCA, is that Abel on?
Yeah, no, right, but that's
unmuted
in the machine.
Okay.
What
if
you were
actually coming? Ed,
you on?
All right, Ed's not on. 6.1.
Come here.
There you are. Here he is. He's in space.
Yeah, you got to unmute me first. I don't have the ability to unmute myself, so.
All right, sorry about that. WPCA is on, so he's in space right now, it looks like.
Ed, are you still working from home?
Occasionally, yes.
You've been in the office more, though, coming in?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Tom, you got anything? No. Okay. Anybody? Thanks, Ed.
I have a question much in line with Mr. Armino's, if I can ask.
Go for it.
We're short a person down at the WPCA, and when we posted before the whole COVID-19 started, we had someone that was interested in applying for the position, and we accepted it. It's not from the outside. It's a transfer from within the city. Once we go back to a full schedule, would we have the ability to make that transfer happen?
My personal opinion, this is Joe DiMartino, is not right now. If you take the person from the other department, then that department's down the guy, and we do have a hiring freeze, so I don't think it's fair to the other department. I don't know if anybody else has an opinion.
And Charlie Sampson, I'm gonna have to echo what Joe said at this time. You know, moving people around and let's stay status quo for a little while. Let's get things done, and we're talking maybe another 4 weeks before we can hopefully start running again.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks, Ed.
Thank you, sir.
Building department. Carlo, I see you there.
I'm here.
No picture. Why not? Oh, that's okay.
That's okay. You want to see my ugly mug? I can turn the video on.
That's okay, brother. Any questions for the building department?
Carlo, on the blight, with the blight officers being down, are you handling that now, or is it kind of, where's that stand?
I am handling it, and with the help of my assistant, we're moving forward with notices to come back and so forth. So luckily, we haven't gotten too many complaints on it, but that's something that we're going to need to talk about soon as well.
Yeah, any idea when you're bringing the blight officers back, or?
I think we're going to wait until everything goes back to the new normal before we even consider that, with the position that the city has about the expenditures. So at this point, I think we can handle the workload that that's creating.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Okay, hearing nothing else. Facilities. Okay, hearing nothing on facilities. Parking division.
Patty, no report,
yes.
Patty?
Nope, there really isn't anything. We have Rich just maintaining the streets, Danny maintaining the facility, cleaning it up. We're just open for business. We're not charging anyone. We're not giving out tickets.
How about the meters? Are they full, Patty, or are we still emptying them?
Well, there's no one really parking. they're pretty much empty right now.
Very good.
Okay.
All right. Revolving loan?
Revolving loan. The two loans we have out right now, we give them the courtesy whether to pay or not for the next couple months due to the conditions. And then I sent an email to Attorney Marino today about Bonanto. And so I'm waiting for a response to see where we are with that collection.
And just to address that here, instead of waiting for Corporation Counsel's section, is I'm waiting to hear back from opposing counsel on trying to resolve the matter. And with the pandemic, the courts are only addressing priority matters. They're slowly starting to come back online, the courts doing things telephonically. But so advancing this judicially is going to be slower than usual, but Attorney Ragaglioso and I will hopefully get this matter toward a resolution that I can present to you for consideration.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I figured that it was just, pretty much at a standstill.
Anything else for Patty? Chief of Staff. Drew, you got the stage.
Hey, Andrew.
Hello.
I have a couple questions. And I'm going to go with the emails that you sent. You indicated in the April 24th email about the lights at the field house. You said they were coming loose? Is that what? That's what you indicated. So, and they were replaced or fixed?
Yeah. There was an issue with, I think, multiple exterior fixtures on the building where it turns out that the wind was pulling them off the building, intense wind. So Dennis and the staff up there, Cello, were working with the original contractor with Turner to bring back the subs who installed those lights to replace them and make sure they were shored up. I don't have an update on if that was done, but my assumption is that it was, because I haven't seen them hanging. When I drive by, it looks like they're up.
You mentioned it, and then somebody asked me, or told me, I shouldn't say asked me, told me that there was different lights were put there, and they're actually supposed to be, I guess, help us save on electricity costs, but I don't know if that's even the truth, so, and I said I didn't know. I only knew what you had indicated, that they had been loose and they were going to be, taken care of by the contractor. So, okay.
I will follow up with Turner themselves.
Okay. All right. And then one of the other things was you mentioned about in the email about the parades that were going around, they're not going around here in Derby by our fire department, police department, that, they've decided that that's not what, not to take part. And I understand their position. But I got to ask because, and I know Carlo's on, he indicated that he's part of, his motorcycle group and doing it, bikers. It's not happening during city time, is it? On his city time? Are we paying for him to do this?
No. I believe there was one last week that he helped facilitate that was at about, he put in for time to go do that.
Okay. Only because I saw him one day. Actually, I saw him last Thursday on my way home. And I, in my mind, you know, was 440, but, you know, certainly he could, you know, put in for time. But, you know, I just want to make sure that if it's a position of the fire department, the police department, and the city that, you know, we're not going to take part, that, you know, if it's not being portrayed that the city of Derby is, you know, I don't want anything to happen. So I don't want any issue that if there is a parade,
Barb,
and,
you know, Barb, absolutely city, not. Barb.
City sanctuary doesn't. Okay.
Barb, okay. Absolutely not. Okay. None of our people are doing it on our time. Okay. So keep yourself, check his time sheet last week. It's on there. It took 3 hours. So
just a follow up on the light.
I'm just asking the question.
No, that's cool. You can check his time sheet whenever you want. I made that make sure that, listen, it's not on city time. City departments are not doing this. So.
And Dr. Conway just messaged me about the lights. The temporary lights are up and working. New lights are being fabricated. We're planning for a June 1 install, but we'll get a refined date next week. So thank you, Doc, for that information. So that's what's going on with the lights. Those are just temporary that are currently up there.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Andrew, I just want to say thank you for I just want to say thank you, Andrew, for the other day. The phone at the transfer station was non-working. It wasn't working. And nobody knew about it. I contacted Andrew, and Andrew had it fixed within the day. So to an Andrew, Ed, and I think Pam, I just want to say thank you for getting that done.
And thank you,
Joe.
Again, kudos for that.
Anybody knows anything that's going on, let us know so we can get it fixed. So don't keep it hidden until the meeting. But this was awesome. As soon as we find something out, we get it done.
And again, I want to thank Pam directly for that. Pam's been great through this whole thing. While we've been kind of short staffed and everything else, she's been wearing a lot of hats and doing a lot of things and things that are really outside of her purview. Because you called me, I called Pam, and she handles that with Frontier and everybody else. So really, that's a Pam thing. And she deserves a lot of credit for the work she's been doing that's really above and beyond through this whole thing, putting in a lot of extra time. So I know she's on, she can hear, but she won't get on and talk. So thank you, Pam.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned her. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Drew, for acknowledging me.
Anything else for Chief of Staff?
Drew, I have a quick question. All right, Carmen. Maybe, Carmen, you can help chime in. I just have a question on the Zoom meeting with the Yale students for the Sterling Opera House. Can you elaborate on that? Is that something that they're looking to maybe use, to maybe refurbish using Yale funds? What was that?
Yeah, right. Okay. So they asked us for in the Opera House, and you know, Carmen facilitated that. We also provided them with a bunch of old documentation and pictures. They then took that, took pictures of them on their cell phones. They went, and it's like a graduate class of theater students who are going to be involved in trying to refurbish old theaters, I guess is what their focus is, their major is. So we okay. Simply gave them kind of access. Then they invited us to their findings as to how they would repurpose the building. So it really was kind of conceptual, probably would actually do. But it was good to see kind of how the space could be utilized for those purposes. So they were kind enough to allow Carmen and I to be Yale students. Hey, we felt really smart.
So it was like you said, it was conceptual. It's not like they're going to actually follow through with refurbishing it.
Into the you know, the Yale Drama School in Derby. We wanted them to take the Opera House, but they didn't seem to have the money to do it either.
Okay.
Did the Yale students go inside the building?
Yes.
They went inside the building?
Yes, three of them.
And who gave them permission to go in the building?
we have that permission from the Board of Aldermen. Any group that comes in and that we feel that there is a possible positive outlook to help us with the Opera House, that we can grant that. It was nothing but the three students and a teacher, myself, and they stayed there for 2 hours, took their pictures, and they gave us back a very nice report online, and they said they're going to forward a hard copy of the report to us.
I don't think that is, I thought the last thing that I knew was that nobody was going in there to help the CEO.
I thought it was basically, if we can push this forward, you guys gave us the authorization to do it, right, Carmen?
I thought that they gave us the authorization to take something that is a possible, a possibility to display it as a sale. And, of course, Yale Repertory, Yale Theater, I don't want to refuse Yale.
Anything else for Carmen?
If the Board of Aldermen feels they want to change that order, just let me know.
Yeah, if you want to throw the anchor out, do it. But I think what you told us to do is try to do what we can to push Derby forward. So I think that's what we're doing right now. Any other questions for the economic developer?
Are we on Carmen or are we on Andrew?
We're on Andrew. We're just getting
it. I have another question. Carmen. Oh,
go ahead.
The mayor's ahead. Okay. Carmen, because it hasn't come back to the board yet, but do we have anybody, do we have a successful bidder for BJ?
Tobias? We did, George Shrey. Yeah.
Did we
contract that? No, right now they're going through we just had a Zoom meeting yesterday with Inland Wetlands. He had to get all the wetlands taken care of. And next week he has his application is in with Inland Wetlands. That was yesterday. Tuesday night we're going to do the application for planning and zoning. Dominic Thomas is his lawyer. They brought in all the designs and the building that he's going to put up and how he's going to handle the wetlands, and the meeting went very well last night.
All right, maybe I missed it. I know I missed a meeting with the going out to bid, but I don't remember a contract coming, a sales contract. Do we have a contract then?
I know that I went through the Community Relations Committee at a meeting. He was the only one present that wanted it. And that was going back 6-7 months.
I'm sorry, I lost my mouse, so I couldn't unmute myself. I'm going to look online right now. Give that to me again, Barbara. You get it out. Do you have a contract with?
I just wanted to know. Yeah, did we have a contract with Schrade, the successful bidder for BJ? Because I don't remember a real estate contract coming before the board.
I'm going to double check in my directory. I know there was a license granted for him to put a crane across the way. I recall that, but specifically a contract. I believe he was still in the due diligence period.
Right.
The last I recall, and I was waiting for Dominic Thomas to get back to me. So I'm going to look in my directory. So I believe that's where it still stands.
Well, last night we had the Zoom meeting with Inland Wetlands, which went very well. And Tuesday, he put his application in with planning and zoning.
Yeah, if my recollection's starting to get restored on this one. Carmen, correct me. Part of the issue was that we needed to get a survey so that when we actually enter into the contract, but we're selling just what we intend to sell and not.
Correct. That's all done.
For example.
That's all done.
Carmen?
That's all done. And that so survey has been done.
I appreciate it's all done, but that's something that had to get done in order to advance the matter to the contract. Because correct. When we initially went out for bid, the parcel that we were bidding included, I believe, the walking trail and things that needed to be excluded. Yes.
Right, that's all done now.
So I believe that's been done. And now the matter will advance toward a contract.
So do we get maybe because we don't have the dates. I don't know the dates. I don't know what the due diligence period. Do we have a letter of intent? Do we have something that we know how they're progressing?
Yes. Yes, you already gave the
deposit. I'm sorry.
The Board of Aldermen has not approved the contract. It awarded the bid. I believe so. The parcel was put out to bid. This was presented to the board. I don't recall the exact month, but I believe it was last spring sometime. And the bid was awarded. That's from a process standpoint, Barbara, that's kind of where it stands. It went into a due diligence for environmental and for survey and things of that nature. And any contract would have to come back before the body.
And just so the board members are aware, at the meeting last night, the wetlands is asking, they're going to need action from the board, granting permission or something from the city acknowledging the application that was before wetlands. So that should probably go to committee so that you can get that to the inland wetlands for their next meeting.
Beautiful. Get a committee going.
Came out of my committee, so if you give it to me, that's fine. We'll have committee meetings starting in 2 weeks.
Beautiful. Any other questions? All right, treasurer's report. You got a treasurer out there? Hello?
Yes, sir.
So Mayhew, there you go. Any questions for the treasurer?
Walt, Charlie Sampson, thank you for the report you gave us after last week's meeting. I do have a couple of little things. If you could just explain to us, you oversee a few funds, and I'll just use the pension fund as one. With the economic downturn that we're experiencing, how did Derby protect its assets? Did we move our funds into some other form of investment that would kind of protect us? Where do we sit with that? How much money we lost? Are we still over 80% as it was left prior? That'd be question one. Question two, with this economic downturn, obviously the feds have cut the interest rate to zero. Can you just tell us, I believe that there was some looking into or renegotiating of our current bonds that we have out there for a better interest rate.
As far as the pension funds go, the people who manage the pension fund for us,
you have a text
went
message.
Over their moves that they made. They moved a lot of the bond funds, a lot of the funds for the pension into cash as the market started to downturn. They're down, I don't remember the exact number, but obviously with the market dropping, their funds are down. We're still in good shape as far as meeting our obligations. The meeting that I had with the bond people, they have no plans right now to refinance the bonds. It doesn't look like the bond market has changed much. When we refinanced the bonds last time under Keith, The bond was at an all-time record low. It's actually above that right now. So there's no plans at all to do anything more with refinancing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I'm sure this board is eager to hear on a monthly type basis. So thank you for joining us tonight.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for the treasurer? All right. Thank you, Mr. Behu. Corporate counsel. You have a question or you're all set? Vinny? All right. Corporate counsel. Yes.
It's just generally
questions?
Speaking,
I know Barbara had. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
All right. Generally speaking,
Ben was talking.
The collection matters are. Oh, I'm sorry, Barbara.
No, go ahead, because you started to talk, and the mayor said I had something to say, so you talk first.
All the collection matters are advancing. We can't advance them in the court because of the pandemic. We are trying to use some humanity with respect to the collection of taxes, and we have a number of payment plans that are being put in place to try to help people along with those taxes. Similarly, with the WPCA collections, we're continuing to make collections and advancements in that endeavor, except we're not advancing the foreclosures at this moment in time. That will likely not resume for a couple of months. The Turco litigation was assigned insurance counsel. Jim Williams is representing the city. An insurance carrier is paying for that legal representation. So I'm monitoring that case at this point, but not handling the litigation. If anyone has any specific questions, okay. I'm happy to try to address them.
No, I don't have a specific question now. I have the specific question for later in the agenda, but one of the things that I'd like to see come monthly to the board, and maybe it's, I'll take it at my subcommittee to just so that the board has the awareness of legal expenses. I don't remember the last time that I saw a legal bill for services. What stands out to me was one of the litigations under the previous administration. We would periodically see a bill. I think that the Board of Aldermen should see the bills, and so I made mention in the email, and the mayor was aware of it, and Andrew and the president of the board, and you as well, Vin, that I'd like to at least see the bills from like last January, whenever it can be, as soon as possible. It doesn't have to be, for a subcommittee meeting. If it can't make it for the next subcommittee meeting, just so we know. I mean, we have zoning council, we have labor council. We should at least have an idea of,
what I can do going forward, because I don't bill the city for the foreclosure or the collection matters. I wait to try to collect those through the defendant. So this way, that's not putting an immediate pressure on the legal budget. With respect to the retainer, it is what it is. It's $6,000 a month, and that gets paid monthly. But what I do is I do aggregate billing, so you see everything that I've done in a given month under the retainer. Labor is also with my firm, as well as zoning. And to the extent we can we try to keep as much as we can under the retainer. Generally with zoning, it's only outside the retainer when there's land use litigation. And there hasn't been much land use litigation to speak of. But what I can do going forward is when because I'm starting to email the bills in, I can copy you on it so that you'll have a copy of the bills, and you can present those at your subcommittee meeting.
Okay.
That's going forward and going backwards.
That's fine.
Going backwards, I can either ask Conan to simply send me a PDF of everything since last January, or we can check to see if finance, how finance maintains them.
Well, if Cohen and Wolf could present it that to you in a PDF, that would be less burdensome for our finance office. So they can be doing something else.
I will
thank
make
you.
Request.
Thanks, Ben. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything else for corporate counsel? Thanks, Ben. Parks and Rec?
I know we haven't had any meetings. We haven't had any meetings, and there's been people asking, when is the track going to be open? Is this going to be open? Everything. There's no date set on that yet. Is there, Mayor? Maybe in a couple of weeks.
No, we're doing everything with Valley Health and CDC, so we're just following in line with everything. So,
Mayor Charlie Sampson. And I'm not sure if anybody can answer this, but maybe Ron, you should have on the Parks and Rec. Any discussion of the summer camp up at Bradley School that the kids come up to and we take care of for X number of hours every day? Are we looking at any plans for that?
You mean the playground?
Yeah, the kids that come up to the playground and they watch them from like 9 to 1 or 2 in the afternoon and give them lunch or whatever. I'm just – there's a lot of programs that this city offers.
Right. Charlie, I don't see that coming. I mean, we're – like I said, we're following Valley Health, State, CDC. So whatever they're coming up with, we're working on there. So – We're not jumping ahead, and like I said, with the restaurants and everything, we worked with the Valley Towns to try to coordinate everything, and we are not, reinventing the wheel. We want to go along with everybody else, so we're holding off.
Yeah, I know some outside stuff is starting to happen, but what it is, we'll find out more next week with the governor May 20th on the first phase there for outdoor things, but I don't know if it's parks, if it's this and that. We'll find out a lot more next week, and that'll be our guidance.
We did have a conversation about that. Sorry, this is Andrew. Dennis and I had a conversation about that. There is some guidance already about outdoor camps, summer camps. We're not ready for that yet. And my best guess is that we won't be in time. And same thing goes for Little League. We got an inquiry about Little League. People are like up in arms that how could you not be starting Little League? And those of you who are baseball fans know that MLB is not starting yet. NFL is in question. College sports are in question. So we're certainly not going to be in the front page of the newspaper to say, 12 middle school kids get COVID-19 because the pitcher licked the baseball, who threw to the catcher, who put his finger in his eye, and then they're in the dugout together. So we'll wait and see what comes of that. I don't see it. I just don't see Little League, and I certainly don't see our summer program. And Dennis, and I know the Park and Rec Board is very leery of that at this time, but if the guidance comes down and changes, we'll ebb and flow, as the mayor said.
That came up at a governor's news conference too, when the governor said if we start Little League, no parents could attend. So to me, that's the end of that right there. Why would anybody go or put their kid there?
Well, the Little League World Series has actually been canceled already too, so I mean there's guidance for us right there.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think everybody sees what's going on. Watch the news, and it is what it is. I mean, so.
Yeah.
You need to be patient. I mean, you want to be Wisconsin and open it up like they did. Everybody's in a bar right now, so who knows what's going to happen out there. All right, anything else? We leave off. Corporate Council, Parks and Recs. All right, anything else for them? We're going to go to Cultural Commission.
Probably about a half hour, 40 minutes.
Right.
Get them.
Nothing? All right. Website report of tickets.
I have a question about the pollution coming from this being discharged. I see that it was coming from DEEP. Is that something that the city needs to be concerned about, or is that something that DEEP is handling and just notifying us?
That's a DEEP matter. That's been an ongoing issue on Derby Avenue there.
Okay.
Well, is that going into the river?
Yes.
Thought it would be odd that they would send it through the website. But it is, like, it is what it is. Okay, as long as it's
being taken care of.
I'm not quite sure why they sent it that way, but we did forward it to Public Works and to WPCA.
Okay. That's not that apartment.
I have a fellow from DEEP that I talked to.
House, is it?
What was that, Barb?
Is it? It's not that apartment that has had issues in the past with WPCA. 272 Derby Avenue. It is, or it isn't.
272 is up.
It's 272 is the address. Sure. Yeah.
Because 196 is Vallejo's garage, so 272 is way up. Probably Pitney building around
there. It's right across from the Birmingham condos.
So I think my question was, and I don't know if Ed Abel is still on, but if that was the, we've had issues in the past there.
Yes.
Okay.
Mark, Tom did off you on the other website one. I don't think we need to have that stuff on here, right?
I think we assumed that there was consensus on not putting that on, in that we don't even offer that service.
No, we don't need that type of service.
Right. Any other questions on tickets? What do I want to? Complex.
This is Ed Abel. I know you guys were inquiring about 272 Derby Ave.
Yes.
Yep. Go ahead, Ed.
All right. I don't have much to report on it other than a complaint was called in about a month ago. And we went out to check the status of it. And, you know, there was some roof drainage, roof leader drainage. There was a whole bunch of debris and junk that was left out on the yard. It was a split yard, a couple different multi-family house. A fire pit on one side, a fire pit on the other side, lots of debris, stuff that was floating in the river, like garbage bags, plastic bottles, stuff like that. We took pictures, we reported back to the DEP. They were, you know, pretty happy with what we were able to do. Nothing went any further than that. So I am unaware after that of anything else that's going on over there.
So it's nothing to do with raw sewage?
No, sir. Never has been.
Yeah, they did a lot of work and spent a lot of money on that building about raw sewage about maybe 8 years ago. So I figured that was fixed.
I remember it was a big question when I had brought it up and talked about it with Steve Iacone. He said that was very problematic back in the day. And, you know, it's has the potential to cause a lot of problems. Go wrong.
Well, I'm sure too, like you are, that's been fixed, that part. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Any other questions? Yeah. All right. Athletic Complex Building Committee. Hearing none, Field House Committee.
Nothing to report. We're good to go, sir.
Matt, you got anything or?
No, just the update on the lights was the latest.
All right. Thanks, Matt. All right, infrastructure.
Nothing to report, sir.
All right. Johnson Control Project.
Is Mark, is this the item that I added, or is this just a normal monthly?
No, that's just the regular report. Your item is on 9-9.4.
Thank you, sir.
You're none. Senior Center. Christine's there. Hi, Chris. Any questions for Senior Center? All right. Thank you for your work. Hearing none, we're going to move on to 7. So
7.0, my
0.0. We're going to do summer help. We're going to add that into it. And you want to start that round? Go for it.
7.0. I'll move to bring summer help back to the DPW when DPW is back to full schedule.
You have a second.
Charlie Sampson.
All right.
Charlie Sampson, second.
Discussion.
I just had a question for Ed Armino. Ed, that money is, you're utilizing the money that's in the current budget from July 1 of 19 through June 30th of 2020?
Yes, ma'am.
How much is it, roughly?
How much is in the account?
How much is it? I don't know if I can get back to Keith's report quick.
I don't have the fund balance in front of me.
Let me see. $18,000.
That sounds correct.
So, so you have money left for until June 30th. So I guess that can maybe be the time span, because I don't know what's going to happen with the next budget. How many did you have them hired yet? How do you hire them?
It'll be the same two gentlemen who worked last year. They usually come back year to year.
Okay. Any more discussion?
Is this similar in fashion to the finance department withholding hiring the bookkeeper until, things are straightened out with this pandemic and we know what's going on? Is there any similarities there? I'm not sure if I'm missing something.
No, it's in the
budget. Money in the budget.
It's in the line.
It's a budgeted line item. I just want to know if I have. I'm sorry.
No, I understand it's a budgeted line item. Has the funds for the bookkeeper been approved yet? I thought we approved that as well.
Yes, sir.
All right. Mr. Mayor, Charlie Sampson, if I could.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Mayor, it's Charlie. Rob, I think there's a little bit of a difference between the two. I think that the bookkeeper issue is because a new bookkeeper brought in would actually have to sit with the finance department to learn what they need to do or go over what they need to do. And I think that the COVID thing is kind of pushing that one off versus the public works type of people. Obviously, they're going to be out in the air practicing social distancing. And I think it's kind of like two different scenarios.
No, I get that. And I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm honestly just trying to understand. I'm not worried about I'm not even questioning the social distancing aspect. I'm just comparing apples to apples if we're not hiring.
No, you're absolutely right. Well, Rob, you're absolutely right because it's already in the budget for the summer help. And the bookkeeper, like Charlie just said, to bring her in or him into it, you know, the social distance and everything like that. So, and, you know, you brought up whether to hire or not, and that's why Ed Armino was trying to figure out if, but is it a new hire? It's not. I don't think it is because it's from the old budget, so.
I have to agree. This is Sarah Dombski. I have to agree with Rob. It's a little bit of gray area for me as well. And if we're comparing apples to apples, like Rob said, it's a little ambiguous trying to, I don't think social distancing has anything to do with like that decision at present.
For hiring, sir, or not? Sure, for hiring the part-timers or not?
For if it's a hiring freeze all around, right? If we went to a committee and discussed a hiring freeze, then our, you know.
Mr. Mayor, sorry, absent.
But listen, they're part-timers, so you know what? Ed, don't hire them. Over to
Mr. Mayor Charlie Sampson, can I have the floor, sir?
Go for it.
I understand where you come from, Sarah, but think of it this way too. And COVID does have something to play with this. I would not want to take a new hire or an existing hire, move them into a position where they need to sit with people for a good amount of time before they can go off on their own and learn what to do for the bookkeeper. And you know that I've been screaming for the bookkeeper since July 1 of 2019 when this got approved and the money has been in the budget. That is one of my things that I can't believe we still don't have the bookkeeper hired. But I can understand now with the way the pandemic is that you can't take a bookkeeper, put them in Keith's temporary office and make them sit there with him and go over books because social distancing cannot happen. They need to work together hand in hand.
100% agree with Charlie.
And get things done. As far as it goes with the part-time people for public works, I'm getting complaints from the people who live up on the hill because Bradley School is basically falling apart. I know we're not playing baseball up there, but now the backstop has issues. The grass isn't getting cut. Ed needs this type of help. And there's all Ed has to do is tell these people, hey, get up to Bradley School, cut the lawn, fix the backstop, and it's not as much of an issue. So I'm going to stand. I'll tell you right now, I'll vote yes for Ed to have his people, but I'm going to harp on this bookkeeper thing. And when things go back to semi-normal and the people start moving from their houses back into town hall, I'm going to be the first one jumping up and down to yell for a bookkeeper again. Thank you.
Charlie, I completely agree with you 100% about the social distancing aspect, and we don't want somebody sitting in Keith's office next to him training. I don't think it's a training question. I think it's more of a financial question. Is maybe we can take that money and put it towards a different line item in the budget. I know Keith had said earlier that we're not we're less than where we anticipated with tax collection this year. So, you know, that might be, you know, an option where we save some money. You know, fortunately we had a light winter, so I'm assuming that we saved a lot of money on snow plowing as well. So that's another area we can look at to save some funds and put back into the,
well,
into the, another line item.
Okay, I'm just going to go back to that. Why I asked the question about how much money there was in the budget. If we approve the part-timers, the money's right there. It's there right now till June 30th. One of our reasons, I thought, with the hiring freeze was monetary. So if the money is available, they can have their position until June 30th. And if I could ask Ed, who are the part-timers? Who, I don't even know who they are. I who are they? That you've had, they're the same, you said they're the same too. Who are they? Still here? Okay.
Joe may know.
Ed, you still there?
Ed is still on.
I am here. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Ed, who are the two, you said that the two part-timers, you've used them in the past, they're the same ones. Who are they?
Anthony DiMartino and Matt. Matt, I can't think of Matt's last name right now. Oliwa. Matt Oliwa. They've both been here for 1 or 2 years.
So right now, if we vote for this and it passes, the money's in the budget and they're only there until June 30th. New budget is a new ballgame. It's 6 weeks,
yes,
anyway.
Yes, and I will not hire them until we go back to full hours.
Right, yeah, so it'd probably be only 4 weeks they get out of it. Well, I'll move the question so we can at least vote on it.
All right, so Ron.
Yes. I will state my motion again, move to bring summer help back to DPW when DPW is back to full schedule.
Okay, we have a second from Charlie. All in favor?
Aye.
Did you say till June 30th? Is that what you said, Ron?
Yes.
Yeah, because that's the only money in the budget. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I'm going to recuse myself.
I oppose as well.
Joe's recusing himself. Anybody say no?
Roll call.
We have to have a roll call vote.
Did Tom say no again? Tom said no? I'm trying to figure out. He said no. All right.
We have to have a roll call vote so each vote is recorded.
Oh, on this. Okay. I got you.
Good, so go for it.
Yes. Mr. D'Onofrio.
No.
Ms. Widowski.
No.
Mr. Joseph DiMartino.
Recuse myself.
Ms. Kurtica.
No.
Mr. Sill.
Yes.
Mr. Hyder.
No.
Mr. Sampson.
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, no. 1 recuse, 3 yes.
No pass.
Pass or no?
No.
All right, don't hire anybody then. Okay, can we move on now? So that's like that we saved a few bucks on there. So 7.1, approve the minutes of regular meeting, April 16, 2020.
And I apologize, these aren't done. It was a very lengthy meeting, and with the Zoom and everything, they're almost done, and they'll be out tomorrow to you.
I'm going to move the table this, Mr. Mayor.
Move the table. Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
All right, do we need a roll call on this, or are we good? Everybody said aye.
Yep, we're good.
Okay, thank you. So we can move on a little bit more now. All right, here we go. Refund of taxes now. Move to approve tax refund of amount of $19,440.15 dated May 6, 2020. Do I have a motion?
So moved, Ron.
Ron?
Second, Charlie Sampson.
Charlie Sampson. All in favor? Oh, I'm sorry, discussion. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, so carried.
Sure.
All right, so next, let's see.
Yeah, this one, my item.
And I got 7.3, appointment of board, nothing. So 8, committee reports, nothing. Blight, community operations, nothing. All right, so we're going to go to 9, new business. Approval of claims, Sheila E. Shanklin of Home, Inc. Move to approve claims, Sheila E. Shanklin of Home, Inc. for damage to property, 227 Caroline, sorry about this, Street, Apartment 1, in the amount of $1,000. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
So moved, Joe DiMartino.
Second.
Second, Rob Hyder.
Rob Hyder, all right, discussion?
But can somebody please explain this?
If you want me to give you a brief report on what this is about?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Okay, so this is a personal property. This is a property damage claim that the police, in responding, broke a door at the property. And there's a police report that's attached to it. Our deductible for this was originally forwarded to the carrier, but you have a $15,000 deductible. So because the claim is, I believe it's $1,000, yep. It got the insurance carrier kicked it back to us because of the deductible. So you have an option. You can pay the $1,000, which I believe if the chief is still on, it's acknowledged that this damage occurred as a result of police activity. The police report states on page 2 that Sheila stated that Raymond had been transported to the hospital several weeks ago and had not returned since. Sheila sent back a building super out to the scene to secure the rear door, as it was not able to be secured by officers due to damage from forced entry. So it seems to be an acknowledgement that the damage was caused by the city, and the recommendation is to approve the claim and pay it. Your other option is to wait and defend against it, but it doesn't appear you have a defense.
And Mr. Mayor, the chief, if he's not on, he did acknowledge the city's role in it in his email of May 5th, just so the record's clear.
All right.
Yeah, the chief seemed like this was just as a matter of fact, it's something that should be paid.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, Charlie Sampson. And I got to put my two cents in on this, but I get it. This will be a lot cheaper than us going to litigation. But the police officers, according to the report, did their job, did it the right way, did exactly what they were supposed to do. And I got to highly disagree with this citizen putting this in. I get it. But you know what? Had we had not done exactly what we did, and there was an issue with this person that they were looking for, we'd be on the hook for so much more. It just, this stuff kind of aggravates me. I understand, but it aggravates me.
You do have the right to say no. And because, there are many municipalities that will say, as a matter of principle, we're going to reject claims like this because we don't want to be feel like we have an open checkbook. You know, and you want to take that position, that's the will of the board. But again, it's going to cost you substantially more than the amount of the claim.
Maybe the landlord should have communicated with a tenant that was concerned about the other tenant, that the tenant wasn't coming back for a while.
All right, any other more discussion? All right, hearing none. So that's the approval of that. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, roll call.
Hey, hold up. Ms. DiGennaro?
No.
Mr. D'Onofrio?
Well, before we vote, I just want to ask the Corporation Council, if we take this to court, are we going to win or lose? How much is it going to cost us?
Okay. Well, more than $1,000.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you more than, definitely cost you more than the claim. And are you going to win or you're going to lose? I like to say you got a 50-50 shot on that. You're going to win or you're going to lose, one or the other.
Okay, yes.
And there's always there's already a question about corporate counsel, how much we gotta spend, so
yes.
Okay. Ms. Wadomski?
Yes.
Mr. Joseph DiLorenzo?
Yes.
Ms. Kurtica?
Yes.
Mr. Sill?
Yes.
Mr. Hyder?
Yes.
Mr. Sampson?
Qualified immunity, no.
Okay. Motion passes.
All right. Thank you.
I would have loved to argue it, but it would have cost you $7,500.
Even if we won, we would have lost. 9.2, transfer of vehicle from police department to public works. Move to approve transfer of a retired police cruiser, 2011 Ford Crown Victoria, VIN number. I'm not going to say it. With estimated mileage about 110,000 to the Public Works Department. Motion.
So moved, Mr. Mayor, Charlie Sampson.
Charlie, any second?
Second, Rob Hyder.
Rob, discussion?
Yeah, I need to know why they need another vehicle.
Well, they don't need a vehicle. It's still here. We're gonna put it into the fleet. If Drew, you want to jump in on this too? You're more fluent on this.
I think, Charlie, the thought was just to have it be kind of a utility vehicle for city staff, whether it be the mayor having to go to Hartford or Carmen and I taking it somewhere for a training class. Rather than people using their own vehicle and putting in for the mileage reimbursement, if we put this car out to auction, it'll bring somewhere between $1,000 and $2,000 likely. The thought was it's still in pretty good shape. It runs pretty well. I believe it was previously Sal Fraschino's vehicle. He says it runs great. So what we put a city crest on the side of it, and it becomes kind of a catch-all for any city staff that has to go to classes. So I kind of...
Even if Pat has to go to BJ's and do all these trips.
Right.
They don't have a car. People are taking their own personal cars.
I get it. I understand. 110,000 miles is not a lot on a Crown Victoria.
Hey, good evening, everybody.
Overall, the cost kind of, you know, now we got to insure it. Now we got to keep it around.
It's already there.
That's
it's already there, Charlie.
Yeah, understood. But we could be cutting our costs. Take it out.
All right, take it out. And then we'll reimburse whoever has to drive it. So, whatever. Anybody else? Hearing nothing? All right. So, where is it? Transfer 9.2. All in favor? Opposed?
Tom DiNapoli retreated himself from that.
All right, we have to call the roll again then.
Yeah, call the roll. Get rid of it. I'm here. So, roll.
Ms. DeGeniro.
No.
Mr. DiNapoli.
You're going to recuse myself?
Okay. Ms. Wadomski.
Yes.
Mr. Joseph DiMartino.
No.
Ms. Kurtica.
Yes.
Mr. Sill.
Yes.
Mr. Heider.
No.
Mr. Sampson.
Guess I'm the deciding vote.
you love it.
Yes.
One, two, three, four. Four yes. One, two, three, no. One recusal. Okay. It passed.
Done. All right. Hey. All right, so that's all set. So next, 9.3, citywide garbage and recycling contract.
Mr. Mayor, yes. Can I just slide ahead? I have a 9 o'clock call with my folks, and I just wonder if I could go to the TD equipment first.
Johnson
Controls.
If everyone could just indulge me, thank you. As you know, the Johnson Control project is kind of on hold in that the solar panels, which are 50% of the scope of work and probably going to give us 70 to 80% of the energy savings, is about 8 to 10 months behind schedule. So by this point, when the original package was done, there was anticipation that this project would be done or close to done and we would have savings in the budget. We are not seeing the savings this year and we probably won't see it next year. But unfortunately, we do have an escrow account that has the remaining money for the project in it, and we have a lease payment that's due this month of $328,000. What we're asking for tonight is, as you authorize Johnson Controls bills to come out of the escrow, we would make the lease payment out of the escrow, and then as the project progresses and comes to its savings, we would backfill the escrow just as we would use the savings in the operating budget to cover this lease payment. This is simply due to the fact that we are behind on the project and we're not seeing the savings. So we want to make the lease payment, use the escrow, and then put the funds back in the escrow when we see the savings in 10 to 12 months. So the ask tonight, just as you approved Johnson bills, would be to approve this lease payment. You guys did approve the lease document just about a year ago. So this is in accordance with the payment schedule you already approved.
How much is it for?
$328,098.
It was in the supplemental packet that you received today in that email.
Well, my record hasn't been good so far tonight. I'll approve it. I'll make a motion to approve.
Yeah, just so you know, it's an obligation you guys already approved. Thanks.
You have no choice. I figure I can't lose on this one. We'll see.
All right, so.
I'll second that.
I gotta go back to this thing. All right, so approve the bill, discussion, document, all approved. All right, so all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none? So carried. All right, so back to 9.3. Citywide garbage and recycling contract. Bid specification, scope of work, and outline of process, discussion of possible action. Do I have a motion, or do we need a motion on this?
Well, can I just say something? I think absolutely. That this, you know, so I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you, Mayor.
Yes, go for it, Barb.
Oh, okay. You know, I saw it in one of Andrew's emails, and I asked that it be put on the agenda. I honestly think this is a special meeting item. We've had, you know, we're talking, you know, a $2 million plus contract for garbage recycling and the transfer station. And I know for most of those on the board probably may not even understand, and I don't want to say understand, but I mean, have the knowledge of what that contract entails and the recycling entails, and so I would, and we have no material, so we have nothing. I know there's a contract that existed, right. And in the past that we had an extension, and it goes through June 30th of this year. So I would ask if we could table and have a special meeting very soon with materials, the existing contract, any proposals, have a discussion on it, and we may have to go into executive session. This isn't an item that is truly a regular session.
No, I remember when I was at an alderman too, I mean, these came up and the administration put it out to an RFP and they got the contracts out, and the RFPs are out there. And if it was supposed to be to a subcommittee, it should have been brought up. But we haven't had a subcommittee in a lot of things here. So as the administration are putting out what we have to put out for the city. And we followed the guidelines from the previous ones. And it's out there. And so to put it out again, I mean, we got our budget coming up. So I don't know if we're going to put this out. Then I don't know where that's going to put us out. I don't know why it's come up at the last minute, but so, I mean, you've been an alderwoman for 20 years. And I mean, if you were involved in this, let me know, because I don't think it ever happened. I remember when I was an alderman, they didn't give us the guidelines, or they didn't give us the RFP, said, did you want this or did you want that? So the administration put it out there.
We got it. No, we got it under Tony Staffieri. Absolutely got it. We have four or five different We had four or five different contractors come.
Right, and that's why the RFP is going out.
So
we don't know how many people are going to put out for it. But I don't know how many people are going to put in for it until we put it out. So you want to put this out for a special meeting. Okay, when are we going to have the special meeting? Do you want to research the RFP? I don't know what you want.
So I'm taking offense to that.
No, I'm not. Barb, listen. You were an alderwoman just like I was an alderman back in the day. This came out in front of the alder people. And once the bids came out and the contract came out, we voted on it. So you let me know what you want to do. But if we put this out anymore, we're not going to be into our contract or for our budget. So,
Mr. Mayor, if I could, Charlie Sampson.
Yes.
You obviously, I mean, trash collection itself, the RFP, the way it goes out, I mean, it is what it is. But you obviously have to come back to this board before any contract can be signed. So
absolutely.
Whether you release the RFP or not, please make sure it comes back to this board for approval before anything is awarded.
100%. I mean, there's absolutely no way I'm going to sign this without the board's approval. But we have to do an RFP. We're here to do all, and Patty Finn has been sitting there doing all the work to get this done. And we put it out. So I'm like kind of confused. Maybe you can enlighten me on more of this. I don't know.
Well, I think what Barb wants to, is all the paperwork on it to come to the new aldermen, so I don't think like Camille or Robbie or Sarah know what the old contract was. So maybe they should see it before we put it out there. That's what I think she's trying to say.
Well, I think the other thing I'm trying to say is I don't know why it's an RFP. It's a survey. So it has to go out to bid. And that's how it was treated for as well, and I'm in my 11th year. So, and I've seen how many we've had, there were with a 3-year contract. But I do take offense to something that you said earlier, because you said we haven't had any subcommittee meetings. No, we have not. But I saw this in an email that, and if Andrew didn't put it in his email, I wouldn't even have ever known. So no one has requested anything about the garbage contract coming to any subcommittees, never came to this board before. I just want people on this board to have knowledge of what they're doing, what they're voting on, and we're not just taking care of, you know, maybe one contractor or vendor. That's not how we are supposed to do it.
Well, then I take offense to that.
And that's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I take offense to that, that you think I'm trying to. Listen, we're putting an RFP out exactly what we want up at the contract, up at the transfer station, and for pickup, curbside, and everything. So if you're trying to say something against me, Barbara, you know, you need to step back a little bit, because we putting it out to get the best price for the citizens of Derby. So I don't know where you're going with that. So we're putting it out there, and that's it. Carmen, go ahead.
Carmen, don't go.
I think.
Oh, I thought you were leaving.
No. I think you're arguing about two different things. I think the mayor is trying to say, we just want to put the bid out.
Yeah, but who approved the bid?
You're not voting on a contract. You're voting just to put the bid out.
But what are we bidding? What services are we bidding?
Mr. Mayor, if I can?
Yes. Go ahead, Pat.
Okay. Yeah, the request for proposals. This was the very first one that Gary Parker and I wrote, I think in 1996. And they've been using the same one back and forth for years now. The RFP, the request for proposals, outline, you know, it just shows everything that we're looking for and just and a proposal form. So, and different services, residential collection for municipal solid waste and recyclables, etc., etc. It'll be in the New Haven Register tomorrow as an RFP. That's all it is. With the cutoff date of June 1st. And then whatever we collect from there, and then we'll have a month to review everything. It'll be on the city's website, New Haven Register. If you want me to put it on the state website, I will. And I can send this to all the aldermen tomorrow morning, exactly what the request for proposal package looks like.
I know, hold on.
Thank you, Pat.
Yep.
My question, this is Tom D'Onofrio, who approved the bid specs?
These are the same ones that we've been using since 1996.
Okay, but what if we want to change it?
Well, we can always change it. We can anything can be changed through an addendum to the bid specs. That's why tomorrow morning I will send them out, and if you have any suggestions, yeah, we can just put anything in there.
Mr. Mayor, Charlie Sampson, I know nothing about garbage pickup. I would hope that Public Works Director would be the one that wrote these bid specs and worked with Patty and whoever else. I don't get involved. Listen. I don't think it's this board's position to get involved with writing every bid spec. I believe it's this board's position to receive these bid specs ahead of time so that we know what went out to RFP, and we can peruse it so that when these proposals come back in, we have an educated vote for the appropriate person to be awarded the proposal. It's not my job to write garbage bid specs.
I think that was what I was trying to say. And however, as I said, Gary Parker, back in 1996, Mr. Parker, I believe it was Attorney Petrella and myself, we wrote these and we've been using the same ones and fine-tuning them as we got the transfer station, et cetera, et cetera. So, anyone, whatever input you want to put in, like I said, I will email these to everyone tomorrow morning. All we did was put it in the paper, a request for proposals to receive these. So any suggestions you have, we'd be welcome to it.
So if I, Patty, if I looked at the contract, this would be the same thing that's going to go out.
Yes.
Ron, basically everything is basically the same. I added, the only thing I added was Saturday to keep them open till 3 o'clock as opposed to 12 o'clock.
Right.
Because, you know, more benefit for the constituent, the taxpayers.
And Mr. Mayor,
but
if I may.
Everything else is basically the same on it.
Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Go ahead, Ron.
It's Mark Garfalo. I'm the town clerk. I apologize. I wanted to speak. I apologize. I wanted to speak during the public portion, but I was a little distracted at the beginning of the meeting, so I apologize. But I did. Thank you. This is a request for a proposal, but it's also a sealed bid because you're gonna determine if people meet the spec, and really who has the best price.
Right.
That's the collection and the recycling. The part of the spec for the operation of the transfer station was done after Commissioner Parker and Attorney Baturla, as Ms. Finn said, when that changed. However, I had brought up to Commissioner Armino and to the mayor and to the Mr. Backlick and others regarding something that we were talking about here in the office in City Hall, an addendum to ask for a proposal from the potential bidders to handle as part of their responsibility of running the transfer station to include the bulk pickup responsibility under that contract. And it really shouldn't be a big extra cost because there's a lot of value in operating the transfer station. And it's a tremendous burden on Public Works to do the bulk pickups. They do 30 per month from May to September. So for 5 months, they can only do 150 pickups in a city that has 7,000 commercial and residential dwelling units. So if they were able to do it like they do in many other towns, they would offer the service to any residents to sign up twice a year during the month of May and then during the month of September or October. And it would take the burden off our own Public Works and give a greater service to more people in the community. So I think that it is under your purview if you see fit to modify the bid. And I would respectfectly ask and encourage you to consider to include that as part of the bid spec, because I think it could be beneficial to the people of the city and reduce the burden on our already, reduce the burden on our Public Works Department.
All right, Mark. Yeah, absolutely. I love that. But I mean, we did talk about that. And that's great. And I want to add that into it.
And Mayor, when we were talking about this today, and Sonia, I was going to look at theirs because I know with people who are landlords of buildings, in and out, people are leaving buildings and everything, there should be different rules for them.
Right.
You know what, with tenants leaving, and you know what, it's not a one-family house or something, but it's like, yeah, tenant, you know, relocations,
No, absolutely. I mean, see, that's the certain things that we have to deal with on this.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it is, the truth is, I think that the, if, I don't know if Ed's still on the phone, but I know that Joe gets the phone calls. And the truth is that we run out of spots for people to do this. And then, you know, we see people just dropping their garbage, solid, you know, big, bulky stuff all over town.
Listen, I get you. Your house, my house, Joe's house, Andrew's house. I get that. We're honest, we do it. But like Patty just said, you get a four-family landlord come in here, you're going to clear the whole thing up. No, it's not going to be like that. So we need to, you know, restrict that on that because I don't want the taxpayers to be paying all that. But it will be a great idea to, if they can do it. So if we want to add that in there, I would love to see that. Ms. Barber.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, you went green. All right.
Oh, maybe to my husband.
If you would like, I'll send this all out to everyone via email tomorrow. And so you can look it over, and any feedback would really be appreciated.
And if you could do
Are
that,
you add what Mark said, Patty? Tomorrow.
Go ahead, Ron.
Pardon?
You're going to add what Mark said about the bulk pickup?
I'm going to look through it tomorrow morning, and yeah, we can just put that in. Yep. My bulk.
Yeah, Ron, okay. Ron, we'll tweak that if there's anything else. But like I said, it's the same contract, basically. I added Saturdays because I don't know if there, anybody else on that board up there goes at 12 o'clock. They shut it down, but I think 3 o'clock on a Saturday is good. And you got any other tweaks that you want to do, let us know. All right, so any more discussion on citywide garbage? All right, so send anything you want tomorrow, and we're going to put that out to the RFP. All right, so 9.4, Johnson Controls project. Oh, we already did that. 10, old business. Charge to Charter Revision Commission. Move to direct the Charter Revision Commission to consider certain recommendations of the Board of Aldermen pursuant to 7.190 of the Connecticut General Statute. Do you have a motion?
I think Camille has added something.
Do you have a motion?
Camille, did you want to add something to the recommendations?
Camille, you there?
Charter revision.
Yes.
Yes.
What did you want to add?
I found out the first board, which is the 105th district, has 835 voters. Second ward, 2,060. Third ward, 3,678. A big difference. We should have these boards equal. So one of my suggestions is we could possibly do a fourth board and then have three aldermen, alderwomen from each ward.
And have more like the same number of people in the each ward.
Well, I don't know if we can go by number of voters or so the number of
more equal
citizens.
It's a suggestion.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Mayor, just to clarify, I heard, this is Mark Garfalo again. I heard Mr. Hyder, I think, say it, and I just want to reiterate, the redistricting is in the charter. It has to be done every 10 years. After the 2010 census, it, unfortunately, for whatever reason, it was not done. So it definitely needs to be done next year after we get the results of the census. And it, no matter how many wards there are, three or four, if that's a proposal, it's based on the number of residents, not the number of voters.
Right.
And I think you used the Alderwoman Kurtica used the 105th district. That's not the first ward. That's just part of the second ward.
Yep.
and that's voters. So it's, yeah. There's different numbers for state elections and the local elections that would include the wards. But certainly the charter states there shall be three wards. So if you wanted to contemplate a change, then that would be the area that you'd have to address that part of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, any more discussion? All right. So we're going to charge the Charter Revision Commission. Are we, or this for a vote, or is it?
Yes, you need to vote on this.
Okay.
So what items you want the board wants to have them review.
All right. We don't have them, Mark, right?
You don't have to do it. They don't have to make any recommendation, or they can, or you could contemplate, you could discuss tonight which ones you want to send to them, or you could just vote to send them all and have them consider everything that everybody brought up. Or at least the ones that are, the stuff that was brought up, everything has been reduced to writing. It's in section 10-1 of your packet. So those would be all of them, and for the purpose of expediting this short meeting, you might just move to recommend that they consider everything in these packages, which was from, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pages of items.
Do you have mine there, Mark?
Yes, they're all, yes, they're in the packet that you received. There's, so they're from Mr. Sampson, Mr. Sill. And then there were other one, I'm not sure who this one's from, but it was dual office holding and the Board of Assessment Appeals. Mark. Pardon?
The dual office holding was mine.
Okay.
Mark,
and
I,
then
I actually, Mark, it's Charlie. I actually don't eat. Oh, I got it. All right. I'm sorry. It's buried here.
And then Camille's. So, I mean, it would be basically, we could just include all of those for the sake of, expediency at this point.
All right, so
okay,
we have a motion and a second, right, Patty?
No, there's no motion or second.
All right, so I have a motion to accept.
Yes,
I'll
make it.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, it would be to move to direct the Charter Revision Commission to consider certain recommendations of the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, pursuant to section 7-190 of the Connecticut General Statutes, and they would include all of the items in the packet labeled 10.1 from Alderman Sampson, Alderman Sill, Alderman DiMartino, Joseph, and Alderwoman Camille Curtica.
All right. So from what Mark's saying, do I have a motion?
So move. Ron.
Second.
Second.
Yeah.
Who's second?
Make a motion.
Go ahead, say second.
I'll second it.
All right. Camille seconded it. All in favor?
And George.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nice job.
All right.
Nice
thank
job,
you,
George.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. 10.2, sale of Varka building. Closing breakdown of Tony Wolf legal bill. Hang on. Discussion, possible action.
Ben?
Yep.
I ask that this be put on there. Do we have an actual breakdown of the $8,500 that was charged by Cohen and Wolf? It was on the closing statement.
Short answer is I can get you. They keep their time, you know, by entry. And I'm pretty confident the time that was put into the transaction was in excess of $20,000. But my confidence should not stand. I'm happy to get a printout of what they call their B memo, you know, their pre-bill, which would show all the time that was entered into. But I know it was an excessive amount of time because there was a lot of back and forth because of environmental issues and concerns, as well as the parcel had to be, there was subdivision issues with the property, and as well as obvious transactional issues. But so this was not a run-of-the-mill type closing, and the firm didn't seek, not that I'm getting a pecuniary on it at this time, but the firm did not seek to bifurcate the expense and say, well, you have a zoning issue, we'll bill you for that outside the closing. You have a, you know, these are things that ordinarily would have been picked up before the lawyers kind of got involved. But if you want to break down, you're entitled to it, and I can ask them for it.
Well, yeah, I just, you know, I mean, I saw it on the closing statement, and I don't think it was just for the closing, but I want to just make sure that, you know, what were they charging for if it had to do with the prior negotiations and all those other things that were going on. I mean, it's just nice to, you know, nice to see it. So
I don't
disagree. That was why question that
I will get it, and I will send it by email.
Okay, thank you. I don't think we need to take any action.
All right. All right, guys. So we're all
motion
set
to adjourn. Yep. Motion to adjourn. 9:26.
So we're all set for 7.2.
No, Mr. Mayor, please. No, there's one both. Point.
Wait.
For 10.2, we need a vote.
Where are we?
All right. So now we're at
10.2 is discussion.
Nothing regular. Nothing adjournment. Ron.
Yep. We're on
adjournment. Approve it.
No, it's discussion and possible action. So they got their point across. We don't need any action on 10.2. But
no, we're not going to take any action.
I'll okay. Do number motion to adjourn 9:27.
No.
Hey, Charlie has something.
No, I have one. Listen, one thing. I know these meetings are long. We all get punchy at the end of them. But I just need to ask Mr. Garofalo one question. Mr. Garofalo, you can see all of our faces here, and we all are getting tired and want to go to bed. How do you keep a smile on your face for 2.5 hours? Can you please change that pick? Go ahead, Ron. All you.
He's the only guy I don't have on my screen. That's amazing.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Okay. All right. Then we'll do the motion again. Motion to adjourn. It's still 9:27.
Have a safe night, everybody. Stay healthy.
Amen. Stay safe.